Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Heterosexual state senator Diane Savino.
People stand up there before God and man, even in Senator Diaz's church. They swear to love, honor, and obey. They don't mean a word of it. And so, if there's anything wrong or any threat to the sanctity of marriage in America, it comes from those of us who have the privilege and the right, and we have abused it for decades.
Democratic Senator Diane Savino of Staten Island on the Senate floor yesterday as she spoke passionately and personally and mentioned two of her gay colleagues by name.
We have nothing to fear from Tom Duane and Lewis. We have nothing to fear from Danny O'Donnell and his partner. We have nothing to fear from people who are committed to each other, who want to share their lives and protect one another in the event of sickness, illness, or death. We have nothing to fear from love and commitment. My only hope, Tom, is that we pass this bill, the governor signs it, and then we can learn from you, and you don't learn from us. I vote aye.
And as you know by now, the marriage equality bill was defeated in the New York State Senate by 14 votes. It wasn't even close. All 30 Republicans voted no, and so did 8 Democrats, including 6 from New York City, Diaz from the Bronx, Kruger from Brooklyn, and 4 Democrats from Queens, Montserrat, Addabbo, Honorado, and Huntley. And here are some other things you may not know about this. Reverend Ruben Diaz, Democrat from the Bronx, who led the opposition to a gay marriage bill, has 2 gay brothers, according to the New York Post today. I wonder if they'll have a warm and fuzzy family Christmas. Despite the 38 no votes, Diaz was the only opponent with the courage to speak against the bill on the floor. Many supporters, like Senator Savino, spoke in favor. The 37 of the 38 opponents who didn't want a sound bite out there didn't get one. Republican Tom Alessi was close to tears as he muttered his no vote, according to the Daily News, after previously promising to vote yes. We've had Senator Diaz on this show this year to argue against gay marriage. Today, WNYC News was reaching out to other senators who voted no, and none who they called wanted to come on and go on the record and have their voices heard. So we have Democrat Tom Duane from Manhattan and Senator Diane Savino from Staten Island.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to both of you.
Good
and
morning,
from
Diane. You're my, you know, I love you.
I know, Tom, and I love you too.
Wait, but I thought you were, never mind. And from the LGBT.
It's the newest scandal, Brian.
And from the LGBT newspaper, The Advocate, Judy Bolser is here with some analysis from both sides of the Hudson as a New Jersey vote in Trenton may also come any day. Senator Duane, did you have explicit promises to support the bill from any senators, Republican or Democrat, who wound up voting no?
Yes, I did.
Will you name names?
No, I won't, because, frankly, I'm more honorable than they are. I told them that I would not tell, and I guess I'm entitled to now say, but I'm going to continue to keep my word. Maybe just as an example to them that perhaps they will learn to keep their word.
Judy Bolser, as a reporter, can you name names?
Julie Bolser,
actually. I'm sorry.
No problem at all. Well, that was one name that I would name, my own. I think that in many ways the community nationally and in New York views this as an empire-sized disappointment, generating a lot of anger. It's been certainly more than suggested in some of the gay press and in the blogosphere beginning immediately after the vote that this disappointment may begin with the letter A in an alphabet roll call. If we look over the fundraising given to Democrats who took the Senate in 2008 with a very prominent promise that they would deliver on gay marriage and other key gay rights legislation, there are Democrats, well, I will name a name that's being discussed in the gay press. That would be Addabbo from Queens. Many people in the community have been expressing displeasure with him in these the past hours.
Because what? Are you saying that he had committed previously to a yes vote and voted no?
Well, no. I believe that he was rated as undecided cited, for example, in the most recent New York One survey leading up to this vote. However, he has been a recipient, as some others who voted against the legislation yesterday, he's been a recipient of fundraising from the gay community nationally. Over $1 million was funneled into New York by the gay community nationally, again, you know, with the hope, if not the promise, that things would change.
And so, Senator Duane, what do you say to your fellow New York City Democrats who voted against this? And I'll mention the names again: Diaz from the Bronx, Kruger from Brooklyn, and the four Democrats from Queens, Montserrat, Addabbo, Honorado, and Huntley, regardless of whether they made a commitment the other way previously.
Well, the Reverend Diaz has always made his position clear. He spoke his truth yesterday. I have no beef at all on the politics with the Reverend. I don't have a beef with his conscience. I want to continue to try to persuade him, but he was never on my list of people or anyone's list of people that we thought we were going to turn around. In terms of, I don't want to be specific to the ones in New York City. It's a statewide issue, marriage being a state issue. There is plenty of betrayal to go around. It's not particular to any region. It's not particular to any political party. It's not particular to any institution or none of those things. It's really just, I think, as I have said, contagious cases of lack of backbone for people. And listen, I slept well last night, not long. It was a, you know, just not as, I didn't sleep a long time.
Not your best sleep ever.
But I slept comfortably. I'm assuming, Diane, you slept well last night, but I can assure you there are several senators who probably did not right. sleep well at all last night, unless they are sociopaths.
Well, you mentioned that it's not limited to any particular demographic group. Let me play a clip of something that Senator Diaz himself said yesterday that is getting a lot of reaction.
All the major religions in the world also oppose it. The Jewish religion oppose it. The Muslim religion oppose it. The Catholic religion oppose it.
Senator Savino, what do you think the role of religion is here?
Well, you know, as I said yesterday on the floor, I have tremendous respect for the Reverend's religious convictions, but when we are legislating, we are supposed to set aside our religious beliefs. As I said, I'm a Roman Catholic, and I understand the Catholic Church does not support this. However, the Catholic Church, as well as other religions, and voters in general, whether they be part of the LGBT community, whether they be Democrats or Republicans, rarely are they single-issue people. So they care about a lot of things, and so do our religious institutions. They care about the way we in government administer to the poor and the downtrodden. They care about how we administer housing laws that affect all of their, you know, constituents in their churches. They care about many things. And while this is an issue that they have expressed their opposition to, I don't believe that, you know, they reject the entire you know, legislative process because they either win or lose on one particular vote.
And we also know that there are religious denominations that are certainly not against this. We see what's happened in the Episcopalian Church, mm-hmm. divided over the issue, but the mainstream Episcopalian Church is now pro-gay ordination, gay marriage, certainly Reformed Judaism. So it's not as simple as Senator Diaz put it. And Senator Savino, do you consider yourself taking a special political risk being an Italian Catholic in a largely Italian borough, voting yes on this?
Actually, I don't, and I will tell you why. First of all, I am who I am, and when I ran for office the first time, I was very explicit with the things that I believe in. And as I said, most voters are not single-issue voters, and if they are, they weren't going to vote for me to begin with. I'm not going to tailor my legislative agenda or my political career to the fear that I may offend, you know, one particular segment of the voting population, because if you do that, then you're incapable of delivering for the vast majority. You know, I have an obligation as an elected official, as Senator Duane does, as all of us do, to go out there and interact with my constituents, state my positions, and try and, you know, convince people that why I believe this is the right thing to do, and hopefully you're able to change some people's mind. What I found most disturbing about yesterday's debate was that only one person had the courage to stand up and speak against it, Senator Diaz. Of the 38 people that voted, 37 of them did not give this community the dignity of an explanation as to how they arrived at their no vote. And that's a real loss, I think, for democracy.
Any senators who voted no happen to be listening right now? We would love your call at 212-433-WNYC. Take that challenge. People here are calling you cowardly. 212-433-9692. Senators or anyone else on this issue of what happened with the gay marriage vote defeated 38-14 on the New York State Senate floor yesterday, 212-433-9692 for state senators Diane Savino and Tom Duane and Julie Bolser, reporter from The Advocate. Senator Duane, was she being too humble about taking special political risk in her Staten Island district, in your opinion?
You know, Diane Savino, like every one of my colleagues, knows their districts, their political situation, and I have tremendous respect for Diane Savino because she could easily say that it was a tremendous risk for her, but she's a very honest elected official, and she spoke the truth as she sees it.
Okay.
She could very well have said, oh, this is a huge risk for me, and, you know, Diane, you didn't say that, and yet another reason why I'm so fond of you. Diane will always, there's no guile. She's not going to trick you. Diane is a straight shooter.
All right. So Julie Bolser from The Advocate, by way of political analysis here, mm-hmm. were the Republicans scazafavid out of voting yes, that is scared off by the defeat of Republican moderate Didi Scazafava in that upstate special congressional election in November after she was for gay marriage, among other things, and so some Republicans who were thinking of voting yes became too afraid of primary challenges from the right next year?
Well, I think there's certainly some validity to that. I believe it is something that is being discussed right now. It is unclear, but it was certainly a factor. Whether upstate New York 23 was a decisive factor is really, it's shaking out right now. I think it's important for us to bear in mind that Didi was one of the few assembly members, Republicans, who, when the bill first came up in the assembly in 2007, voted for the marriage equality legislation. It did pass the assembly, and she was returned to her seat the next year in 2008. So to the extent that it may have become an issue during this just recent election cycle, I don't sense that it had been an issue that was dogging Didi, so to speak, any time before then. But we do have to consider whether the threat is overrated or not. There is a perception of this conservative backlash. And you also, I believe, have Michael Long of the Conservative Party on the record as a threatening of the New York State Conservative Party, threatening to make this a litmus test for Republicans, and the talk of a litmus test for Republicans nationally, where from the National Party, also, Republicans are hearing that if they support marriage equality, you know, they could be running the risk of losing fundraising support.
Ellie in Crown Heights, you're on WNYC. Ellie, thank you for calling.
Yeah, I have a simple question. Why does it have to be marriage? Why can't it be that everybody that can document in some way that they have a union or a partnership, that they're entitled to rights? For example, if people that are not gay decide they're opposed to the term marriage and they want to be in a dedicated union to each other and they're together for 10 years, they are not given these rights, and this legislation won't give it to them. So why does it have to specifically be marriage?
Senator Duane?
Well, if Ellie would, you know, and I know this is going to sound sort of sarcastic, but it's not meant that way. If Ellie believes that there could be a successful movement in the heterosexual community to give up marriage, then, you know, more power to him. But I really believe that people will not give up something that they already have. It would make all of our jobs much easier. Marriage is the institution that's recognized by the state. That's why equality means that same gender people who want to get married, that's why that would mean equality, that we could get married. If everybody is willing to give up marriage, then we could all have the same thing that's not marriage, whether it's civil unions or whatever it is. You know, but that's not what's at hand right now, and I really don't believe that heterosexual married couples across this nation, or even in New York State, would be willing to cede marriage in order to become equal to what the gay community could attain.
This just in from our producers. Senator Addabbo, who voted no, has agreed to come on tomorrow's show. So Senator Addabbo will speak about what went into his vote. We have Senator Addabbo from Queens now scheduled to begin the show 10:06 tomorrow morning, and we thank him for being willing to speak publicly about his decision. A listener from Oceanside wants to know, Senator Savino, what role the Republican Senate leader, Dean Skelos, from Long Island, had in this. He is our listener's representative. Did he, as the leader of the Republicans, try to gather that unanimous no vote on the Republican side of the aisle?
I mean, one can only speculate about that, since none of us are in that conference room with them when they meet. But his public statements that he would not hold his conference in a block, which from time to time he will do when he feels it suits their political purposes, as all leaders do, he had stated that he was going to allow his members to vote their conscience. Those were his public statements. But the outcome yesterday would lead some of us to suspect that perhaps he did not live up to those public statements, and he did perhaps, encourage his members that they should vote in a block against this. You know, Senator Dwayne knows the members of the Republican Conference who have stated to him privately that they were prepared to vote for this bill. I have my suspicions about how some of who they were from my own conversations with them. Many of them had stated that they would be willing to consider this vote once the deficit was done, that we had to deal with the state's fiscal crisis first and this would come second. But those members who gave me reason to believe that they were prepared to vote for this once the work of the Senate on the budget issue was dealt with, then turned around and voted no. And so I can only speculate what their reasoning was.
And Carol on Staten Island wants to follow up on that. Carol, you're on WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning. I was wondering if there wasn't some influence from higher up, that is the National Republican Party, since this follows the pattern of the national vote in the Congress and Senate of Republicans voting in lockstep with each other. So I was wondering if, that could have been an influence. By the way, I'm a constituent of Senator Savino's, and I thank you for your vote.
Thank you, Carol.
Briefly, Senator.
It's very possible. The Republicans have always certainly had a lot more discipline than Democrats. You know, it's a challenge to be a member of the Democratic Party. We all know the old joke that we're not an organized party, we're Democrats. Democrats tend to be far more willing to split off and take various positions, where Republicans are more interested in rock-solid discipline. So could there have been pressure from the National Party? Probably. From the State Party? Probably. And also, there's one thing that is lost here. If gay marriage had passed, or marriage equality, or however we want to describe it here in New York State, had passed yesterday, it would have been a tremendous victory both for the governor, and it would have been a tremendous victory for the LGBT community, and it would have been a tremendous victory for the New York State Senate Democratic Conference. And I believe that politics definitely played a role in this, because we are going into an election year relatively soon, and it is not in the interest of the Republican Party to hand the Democratic Conference
a major
civil rights victory.
All right. We have a few minutes left, and I want to touch on a couple of other things real quick. Julie Bolser from The Advocate, you cover New York and New Jersey. Mm-hmm. Is a New Jersey legislature vote on marriage equality up next?
That is, or rather, that was the plan. And I think we can say in the weeks to come before January 19th, when Governor-elect Christie takes office, we will see. At this point, certainly what happened in New York.
Well, I thought they were going to try to get it in before the end of this year, mm-hmm. because we know Governor Corzine would vote yes, and
yes,
we believe Governor Christie would vote no.
He has vowed to veto it. So, as I said, the plan all along had been in this window of lame duck session, you know, after the election to get it passed.
Does
at that
the New
point.
York vote put a damper on that?
I think it certainly does. In looking at it, my immediate analysis would be I think it certainly doesn't help. Whether it would be the decisive reason that a vote does not happen in New Jersey, I don't think it would be the decisive reason. I want to be very clear that as if you ask anyone who has grown up or even lived in New Jersey, New Jersey doesn't like to take cues from New York. So we need to be careful to necessarily say that what happens across the Hudson will also apply. There are certain conditions in New Jersey, you know, that are different. We should point out, as Senator Duane was talking about the inadequacy of civil unions versus marriage, New Jersey has an experience with civil unions as being inadequate. The legislature there hasn't enacted them. A state commission has found them to not work for same-sex couples. It's rated one of the more progressive, if not the most progressive state for LGBT people. So there's reasons to be hopeful, but certainly in this past month with the examples in Maine, with the, you know, the question one passed, which repealed the marriage law that was passed by the legislature there, and with the Christie influence, we have significant reason to doubt as well.
And very briefly, senators, this discussion is framed around gay marriage, but the other big news from the Senate this week is the passage of some kind of budget deficit closing bill. The governor is very unhappy with you people, all of you people in both houses of the legislature on both sides of the aisle, for the most part, for not doing what had to be done to really close this gap and pushing off a lot more pain for the people of New York State down to the next fiscal year and even just into next month. Senator Duane, Senator Savino, briefly, what's your response to the governor on whether you were responsible on the budget?
Well, go ahead, Tom.
We took a step. Maybe it wasn't as far as the governor wanted to go. It was a responsible step. Could we have gone further? Absolutely. In fact, the Senate plan would have gone further, but in negotiations, bipartisan negotiations with the other side of the aisle, and also with the Assembly and the governor, this is what we came up with. And now I think we have to start preparing for a very, very difficult budget next year. That's certainly what I'm doing with the Health Committee.
Senator Savino, we'll take a closer look at the budget again with other guests on tomorrow's show. But Senator Savino, are you all a little irresponsible this morning on the budget?
I certainly don't think that we were irresponsible. You know, we were faced with the problem of being in the middle of a budget year and having to cut almost $3 billion out of spending that goes to, you know, hospitals and to school districts and to developmental disabilities programs and every government entity and every organization that relies on funding from the government. And so we decided to take a scalpel approach as opposed to a meat cleaver approach that the governor was asking us to take, in recognition that the decisions that we make have direct impact on the constituents that we all represent. Now, we know that our next year's budget is going to be far worse. However, now those entities that rely on us will have the opportunity to plan for reductions, mm-hmm. instead of having the rug pulled out from underneath them.
Right.
So I disagree with the governor's interpretation. And in fact, you know, the governor has been talking for months about reducing spending at his own level. And the reality is he has not done that yet. So we said to him, you know, complete the cuts that you claim you were going to make at state agencies. You know, reduce spending at your own level. Let us work on the issues that we have oversight over.
And that has to be the last word. Democratic State Senators Diane Savino from Staten Island, Tom Duane from Manhattan, Judy Bolser from the newspaper The Advocate. Julie Bolser, thank you all very much for coming on.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer and WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will compare the war in Afghanistan to the war in Vietnam. Stay tuned.